Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Fueling Forward podcast. I'm your host, Maddie Alm, registered dietitian and former professional runner. Today's guest is Amber Scholes. Amber is a 4A Florida State champion in 2021 in cross country and the runner-up in 2022. She went on to run in college at High Point before transferring to Flagler and ultimately deciding collegiate running wasn't for her. Amber is now rediscovering her love for running on her own. She's coaching and she runs for herself. She's also going back to school for nutrition and she's a mental health advocate. One trigger warning, we do talk about eating disorders, so if you're not in a place to hear that, this episode may not be for you. Thanks and enjoy today's episode. All right, Amber, welcome to the Fueling Forward podcast. I was just saying it's so nice to quote unquote meet you. I feel like we've kind of followed each other on social media for a long time. And it's just so nice to talk to you in person. And I'm really excited to share your inspiring story with everybody. So welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. I have been like a huge fan of you and have followed you on Instagram for so long. So you've been such an inspiration to me. So it's really cool to be on here.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice. And I want to just make sure everyone who's listening knows who you are. So anyone who doesn't know you, who are you? Who is Amber?
I am not just a runner. I am a passionate person about so many different things. And I love to, obviously, I love to run. I love to lift. I love to be active, but I am also an animal lover. I love the beach. I live in Florida. And I also am a coach right now. I coach middle schoolers, a little bit of elementary school, and also high school with my old club coach. And yeah, I'm going to be going back to school for nutrition soon. And that's something that is I'm super passionate about because of my past with an eating disorder and just the impact that it can have on your overall health, well-being, and performance.
That's amazing. You wear so many hats. You wear them all so well. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about how you got into running. You know, your Instagram is Amber Runs. I love how you said, I'm not just a runner, which, you know, is so true. And that's something I definitely want to get into is that identity piece.
Yeah.
But you started running at a really young age. So tell us a little bit about how you got into running.
Yeah. So a big thing for me has always been like, I'm not just a runner because running, it has been such a huge part of my life for my entire life. And it is my biggest passion. It is something that is like my favorite thing ever. My mom, she's a marathoner. She's done like races ever since she was young. And she ran in college as well. She ran at UCF. And pretty much as soon as I could walk, she started putting me into kids runs. And I'm very, very grateful because she always kept it super fun for me. And I think that that's something that's super important. And ever since then, I have just grown more of a love for it. I feel like every single day that goes by, I just become more grateful and more passionate about the sport and not just running, but just like the sport as a whole, the community that it is and everything that it brings to your life. And it's just, it's such a beautiful thing and I am so grateful for it. But yeah, so I started when I could pretty much just walk and then I didn't really get competitive until middle school. And then that's when I started getting more like, wow, like this can be something that I can do for like the rest of my life.
That's amazing that you got into the sport so young. You could not have paid me to run a step before I was in high school. And even then it took some convincing. I was definitely late to the sport. So it's always amazing to hear people who found that passion really early on. Did you ever try any other sports or mostly just running?
Yeah, so that's something I'm also really grateful for is that my mom always kind of like encouraged me to like go do other sports, try new things. Like running is always going to be there. It's never going to go away. And like the big thing too that my coaches were like, we don't want you to be so focused on running at such a young age when they saw like the potential and talent that I had and they wanted me to love it, you know, for forever. So I did soccer through kindergarten all the way up until my eighth grade year of middle school. And I also did basketball. I wouldn't say I was good. I made the team because I was fast. I actually, like, there was one game where I got the ball and I went the opposite way on the court.
Oh,
So that just shows, but they still put me in because I tried really hard and I was fast. So yeah, I also did triathlons as well. And yeah, it was so much fun.
Awesome. So multi-sport athlete, which is always huge, like you said, for staying in love with the sport and just finding your
Exactly.
way to running kind of on your own.
So as you got into running, this is something that I've talked about with other runners too, when it switches from being this sort of like fun play thing to like, oh, I'm actually pretty good at this, I could be something, how did your approach to life and running change?
Yeah, so I feel like for me, I had like my season. So like I had the time where I really focused on like my other sports. So the beginning of the school year was always like soccer, basketball, and I would do like a little bit of running. But what's weird is I feel like I was very kind of like mature in the way of like I didn't want to be serious too young. And I had like my coaches and my mom constantly kind of like telling me like let's keep this fun. Like you don't need to be too serious too young. So like everything that I did had purpose, but I always knew in the back of my mind like okay, I don't need to be too extreme with things. So I always went to bed early, and at the beginning of my career, I was really good at fueling my body. So I always made sure to like eat enough, but also not be super like obsessed with it, because I was like I want to be good, like I want to be fast, I want to be one of the best. And I was so fiercely competitive, but in like a healthy way at this point in my career. And my favorite things was like beating the boys, and I also like started to eat a little bit healthier and everything like that. But overall, I feel like nothing really extreme changed from my whole like at the beginning to when I started getting better, because I feel like I always was doing like things to be better. So it always just kind of has been a part of my lifestyle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You grew up in a really active household. This was just something that was always there. So I'm curious, this is a Fueling Forward podcast. We're talking about nutrition. When did that change for you? You just said, that wasn't always the case. Struggling with fueling wasn't always the case. When do you feel like that switch flipped for you?
My mom, she's an incredible athlete. She looks like an elite athlete, and she's very fast. She's always been fast since I was young. So I looked up to her a lot, because I was like, wow, like my mom's so fast. Like I want to be fast like that. And I was like, I want to look like her. I want to look like a pro. And my dad was a pro bodybuilder. So I grew up in a household that was like full of very almost, I guess, perfect physiques, you could say. And both my mom and my dad were very like, they fueled their bodies very well, and they took very good care of their bodies. But I didn't see that. All I saw was kind of like what they looked like. And at this time, as I started getting faster, which was during middle school, I also was looking up to a lot of like pro athletes and seeing what they looked like and everything. And all throughout elementary school and the beginning of middle school, like I was really fast. As a seventh grader, I could run a 5:15 mile, and I was like, I want to go sub five. And like I was fueling my body very good. And I also like I got my period for the first time, and I was very like healthy. I was a healthy weight, and I also like hit puberty, I feel like, really young. And so I was always bigger than everybody else around me. And for me, that was really difficult, because even the girls that I was racing, I was a lot bigger than. I felt like I looked a lot more mature. I looked more like a woman. And I didn't like it. I was like, I don't like this. I don't understand why I look so differently than all of the other people that I am competing against. And like, I want to look like this. I want to look like this person. I want to be smaller, because if I am smaller, then I'll look more like, I feel like, a pro runner, which I didn't understand. Like, these athletes have been working for so long to build up muscle mass. They're not just like really skinny and small. Like they have muscle and they're strong and powerful. But to me, I didn't see that. All I saw was, okay, I am bigger than everybody else, and I need to be smaller. So right after I had pretty much just had like the best track season, I really started to struggle more with like my body image and everything. And that's when I started decreasing what I was eating drastically, because I was like, okay, I need to be smaller. I need to get smaller. I need to look like these people that I'm competing against and the pros. And I thought that that was the way to do it. And I thought that that was what's going to be to take my fitness to the next level if I looked like that. And I also feel like for me, it was kind of less about performance and more about just what I looked like. Like I just wanted to look a certain way. And people started to notice. It wasn't until I went to my chiropractor who would always do like active release therapy on me and everything. And he was like, wow, like you've lost a lot of weight. And he kind of like looked at my mom, like, have you noticed this? And when you're around somebody kind of all the time, I think it's hard to notice things. And my mom, like, she was looking at me and she just started crying. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, how have I not seen this? She felt awful because she didn't see it. And at the time, a lot was going on in my mom and my parents' life too, because they were getting a divorce. And so I also was just going through a lot. We had moved out. And so it was just like me and my mom living together. And there was just a lot of stress on me. I was going to a new school and everything. And that's when really everyone kind of started to notice and realize that, okay, like this is a problem. And my dad was really worried about me. He was like constantly kind of just like, Amber, like you need to feel your body. And it wasn't until I started to feel like really weak that I was like, okay, I think this is like not what I want to be like. I was like,
Yeah.
I don't really think I want to be like this. Actually, I would like to like get some muscle. And I knew my dad was a bodybuilder. So I was like, hey dad, like how can I get some muscle and like get stronger and like put on healthy weight? And I want to be faster. And he told me something that was super, super impactful for me. And he was like, Amber, your body is a race car. Like if you don't fuel yourself properly, you're not going to be able to run. Like your body can't run on empty, and you wouldn't drive a car on empty, so you can't run on empty. And that's when I started feeling my body better. Like it was kind of weird. I was like, okay, yeah, no, I don't want to be like this. Like I want to be strong. And I started feeling my body a lot. And then towards the end of my 8th grade year, I had some incredible performances. I came in second for middle school state championships by 0.01 seconds,
Oh wow. Very
which
tight.
is crazy. And then I went to the USATF Junior Olympics and I performed the best I had ever performed before. And I felt so incredible. And I remember my coach told me that he wanted me to try to put on a little bit more muscle. And for some reason, that comment triggered me to kind of like, no, I'm not doing that. And it was almost like my eating disorder kind of like came back over. And then once I entered into high school, I pretty much entered in like a full blown eating disorder decline. And that was the start, I feel like, of like, okay, now I knew what I was doing. Now I knew that I was under fueling my body, but I didn't care and I was going to do it anyways. And that was pretty much throughout high school. My freshman year of high school, in the beginning, I was performing really well. I was considered a freshman phenom. I was running in the 17s as a freshman. So I was one of the fastest in the state of Florida. And after the season, like towards the end, my body really started to take like a toll. And by the end of my season, I went from like a 17:55K to like a 19:40. And I couldn't run any faster than that because, I mean, skinnier is not faster. Skinnier is not
Absolutely.
faster and it is not sustainable. And I completely just died by the end of the season, pretty much. And then I started going to therapy and everybody was very worried about me, but I was just very kind of up and down, up and up through my sophomore year. And I really didn't start getting better until COVID happened. But yeah, all throughout that is kind of where it was the
Yeah.
worst.
Wow. Yeah, thank you for sharing all that. I know that can be really hard to talk
Yeah.
about, but I think it's really highlights there's kind of different things at play when people are struggling with fueling or entering into eating disorders. You know, sometimes it is unintentional. You kind of start out with good intentions, like trying to eat healthy to support performance.
Exactly.
And I think one of the hardest parts of this that I have talked to other athletes about and athletes that I've worked with is that there is an initial improvement in performance, and that is super hard. So once you kind of realized that that wasn't the sustainable way to do it, where was your mind in that moment?
Yeah, so what it's kind of my story of how I kind of clicked into recovery was I was seeing a lot of people on Instagram like posting how their life had changed when they started entering recovery, and I knew that like I felt awful and my performance was kind of plateauing. Like you said, like there was an initial drop in my times and my performance, and I was like, wow, I am running so fast, but I also could barely run 12 miles a week. So I was running all these times off of, I would do one workout and then I would get hurt and then I would race and then I would rest the rest of the week until my next race because if I didn't, then I would be hurt. So I couldn't train. And I was getting really frustrated with that. And like, I remember when I was younger and I was playing soccer, I was playing basketball, and I was this tough kid. And I was fast and I was powerful and I was beating the boys. And I was like, where did that girl go? Where did that girl go that had such a zest for life? Like, she's gone. She's not here anymore. And she was still there. She was just being chained up by an eating disorder. But it wasn't until I started seeing people also posting like full days of eats, and full days of eats can be bad. But for me, I was seeing ones that were very helpful because they were eating like a lot of food and they were fueling their body. And I was like, wow, like these people are really strong and they're fueling their body and they're running fast and they have muscle. And I was like, I am so sick of being weak and injured and unable to run and I'm not getting faster. I was plateauing and I was like, I was still running fast, but I wasn't getting faster and I wasn't reaching the potential that I knew that I had, especially when you can't train. Like you can't reach your potential if you can't train. Like you'll just be kind of at your like set, like, okay, this is what I run, but you won't get any faster. And I was getting really frustrated. So once COVID hit, I really had so much time to just pay attention to what I was fueling my body with. What also helped me was starting to lift. So I started to lift and I knew if I wanted to get stronger, and I knew if I wanted to have muscle that I needed to eat more. And I knew that if I wanted to be able to run and lift, that I needed to eat even more. And what kind of encouraged me to keep this going once I started was my times started like dropping drastically because now I had fuel to like actually, run. And I started putting on some more weight and getting muscle and I started running faster. And for me, like that was so rewarding and it showed me why I needed to continue down recovery and continue to fuel my body. And that's when the next season, I got a little injury, and I'm not surprised because I was fueling my body for, or not fueling my body for so long. So I got a stress reaction in my heel and had to take a couple weeks off, and I was okay with that. I was like, this is actually a good thing because my body's been under the hammer for so long, and I need to rest. I need to fuel my body, and then when I get back, I'm gonna be better than ever. And I was. I ended up coming in first place in our FH or Florida State Championships for cross country the first season that I came back from kind of like recovering or entering recovery. Obviously, recovery is a really long journey, but when I did enter recovery, like that next season is when I won state. And that's when I really started sharing my journey on my social media and posting more on YouTube and like wanting to show girls that, like, okay, yeah, if you fuel your body, you will run faster and you will live a happier life and have a zest for life. And that kind of kept me going and also kept me accountable. And through senior year as well, like, I went through a time where I was injured for a really long time and had an identity crisis. And my senior year was like the best season ever, not just because of like how fast I was running or anything, but I actually for the first time was able to go to like pasta parties with my friends and like my teammates. And I actually was like, okay, life is so much more than running, life is so much more than food. And I had the best relationship with running and my body and food and everything. And I performed really well. And then after that, I went to High Point and I had a lot of other struggles. And then Flagler I ended up having a relapse there. So
Yeah, super long journey. And something that I talked about
so
with Allie
much.
is how runners, we have this strength because of running where we're good at pushing ourselves, we're good at pushing our bodies in places that are just that cause discomfort, and that can be both a blessing and a curse in some situations. And you spoke to social media a little bit. You're somebody who's been very present on social media from a young age. And, you talked about seeing good, what I eat in a day is that inspired you. But on the flip side, there's also a lot of stuff out there that can be really triggering. And, as somebody who's been on both sides, kind of struggled with your fueling while still posting on social media and then, being more recovered and posting on social media, I think it's so important to highlight for young runners that what you're seeing on social media is not always reality. So, what can you add to that to help younger runners be more critical consumers of what they're seeing on social media?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that has been helpful for me is that if anybody is posting anything that makes you feel triggered in any way, or maybe not even triggered, maybe just like question yourself or what you're doing and make you have any kind of like negative feeling about your body or like what you're eating or what you're feeling with when you know what you're doing is right for you, unfollow them. Unfollow any content that is making you feel not good. Anything that's not adding to your well-being and your life, unfollow. And there's also a really cool feature where on your explore page, you can press and hold and press not interested on things. So I think the biggest thing is also just not avoiding all of that stuff as much as you can because you can to a certain extent. Create, like your explore page, create what you see. Maybe don't click on things that are a ton of food if you know that it's not helping you. If it's encouraging you to fuel your body and stuff like that, that's okay. Or maybe it's giving you food inspiration, but if it's not, unfollow or press not interested. Or if it's a friend, then you can just like pretty much silence their account. And there's so many different ways that you can make sure that you're not seeing content that's just not going to be beneficial for you. And I think also realizing that everybody's body is really different and everybody has very different needs. And something that's good for somebody else doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for you. And you also don't know if that person's healthy or taking care of their body. You don't know if they're a happy person that's, able to go out with friends and have a good night and not worry about food. They could be posting what they're eating, but they could be freaking out about something. Like we don't know the full story by five Instagram stories on Instagram. Like the truth is that we just don't know somebody's full story and we don't know where they are on their journey. Maybe they're actually in the depths of an eating disorder. You never know. And again, like you also just have different needs. Everybody has different needs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such great advice. I think curating your own social media page or whatever you're seeing in the Explore feed is huge. And that's something I do encourage young runners to do because we're just consuming so much content these days. And,
So much.
obviously, it'd be great if we could all kind of cut back on that, but maybe it's just not reality. And so, taking care of your mental health, if you are spending a lot of time in those spaces and muting accounts that are posting triggering things, unfollowing them, marking that you're not interested, those are all really great ways to avoid constantly being bombarded by messages that make you question yourself. And it sounds like you were able to ultimately get to a point your senior year where you were kind of back to being healthier and happier and enjoying running. And then college. So tell us about the transition from high school to college and what your experience was like initially at High Point, which is a D1 school.
So I feel like this is a part of my story that I haven't really talked a ton about. I feel like my high school and my middle school years, I've talked about countlessly and I've shared so much about, but really my college years, because it's only been, 2 years, I've had to learn a lot and kind of work through a lot of things before I've been able to share stuff. So I finally feel a lot more comfortable sharing things now, but I had the best year of my life pretty much my senior year. Like my senior year was, I was on top of the world and I was like, I haven't even touched the surface of what I knew my potential was because I was running really fast times off of honestly barely training because my body was still like recovering from so much and I didn't understand properly like building mileage up or properly doing anything. So I was just like, wow, like I am so excited to like just kick it up a notch and like accomplish all the goals that I've always wanted to accomplish. Back then, I still wanted to be like an elite runner, a pro runner, and all of that stuff. And I had a good mindset with everything. When I got to High Point University, which is in North Carolina, and I'm from Orlando, Florida, so it's about 9, 10 hour drive. It's pretty far away from home. And I felt really ready. Like I've always been a pretty like independent person, and I thought I knew everything at the time. I didn't, but yeah, I got to High Point, and it was not anything of what I thought it was going to be, pretty much. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, like, when you go on these visits to schools and everything, like they're putting on the prettiest face that they possibly can, and that. When you get to a program that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be like how it was on your visit, or even what other athletes say that it's going to be like, or what the coaches say that it's going to be like. And I have obviously been super injury prone, and I thought where I was going was going to be a good place for me for, my injuries and making sure that I stayed healthy. And I didn't really struggle with like eating disorder stuff when I was at High Point. I more so was just in like a really depressed, overtraining state and just wasn't taking care of my body. So I felt really gross inside of my body because of the training that we were doing and the overtraining. And I obviously, like in high school, like I said, like I was running 12 to 15 miles, and I still did that my senior year. Like the rest was all just racing and like one workout. So when I got into college, the training was like absurd compared to what I've done. And my body was not ready for it. And I didn't have like a proper build at which to make sure that my body could handle everything. And I started dealing with like extreme injuries and chronic injuries that lasted months and months and months and months and months. And I was also being forced to run through these injuries even after like clearly saying so many times how much pain I was in. And I would be crying walking to class because of the pain that I would be in after practice. And I started becoming in this state of just like so much anxiety and so much sadness. And I was in the worst mental spot that I had ever been in. And while I was there, I was also told not to go to the trainers, the athletic trainers. So now I was being forced to run through like severe pain, but also being told that I couldn't go to the athletic trainers for help. So now I was really alone, and all the person I could go to was my coach, but my coach was telling me that I had to keep running. My coach was telling me that I had to keep going, that I had to keep pushing, and that pushing through these pains was mental callousing. And that by doing that, I obviously was becoming a better athlete because I was getting stronger mentally. But the truth is now that now I couldn't run. Now I really couldn't run because I couldn't walk. So the next thing is, okay, now we're gonna cross train. So now I was cross training every single day, pretty much more than everybody was running too. So I was being forced to do more. And by force, it's like when you're on a team and you're on, a scholarship, like you really can't be like, no, I need rest, And if you are, then you're probably going to get like kicked off the team, or like there's so many fears that are going in your head. And when you're in that college environment, it's almost like you're in this position where you feel like you have to listen to everything that's being told to you. You have to like pretty much obey when you're in such a like toxic environment. There was one day I remember I was walking to class and I couldn't even walk down the stairs because I was in so much pain. And my roommate, she was going through it too. And she was like, Amber, you've got to go to the athletic trainers. Like you can't do this. I would bend down to like get something out of my fridge and they would put me in tears because I was in so much pain. Yet I was still having to run 10-mile long runs, finishing in sub 6-minute pace when walking to class was causing me to, cry. But that was mental callousing, so I had to keep doing it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, I do. I need to go to the athletic trainers because if I don't, like, I could jeopardize my entire career, and not just my entire career, but just my health. Like, I only get one body, and I knew that. Like, I learned so much throughout my high school years, especially after having, my eating disorder and everything like that. And so I went to the athletic trainers, and they helped me so much. Like, just mentally, like, it's really sad how toxic college environments can be. Like, I know so many people have such great experiences in college, but I also know so many people that have such terrible experiences, like I did. And so the athletic trainers, they really helped me, and they took control over all of my training at that point, which was kind of going into track season. So that kind of saved me, but at that point I couldn't much walk past the track without having some sort of panic or crazy anxiety. So I wasn't going to practice anymore, and I was able to not go to practice anymore because the athletic trainers were giving me all of my training, and I had to do that like either in their office or I would do it in our like school gym because I had very specific cross training that I had to do. And if it wasn't for that, I really don't know where I would have been because I was having such scary thoughts that I can't believe I went from the best year of my life to the worst year of my life. And what didn't help is that I'm from Florida. I'm used to the sunshine, and it was rainy and gloomy there every day. And we were training in like 20 degree weather, raining. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's tough. That's so tough.
I was in a boot, so I was put into a boot. I couldn't run for 3 months, and that's when I decided that it was definitely time to figure out where I was going next. Like this was just not gonna work. The environment that I was in was just not good, and I needed to be closer to home, and not necessarily even like home, like my house or anything like that. Like, I just needed to be in Florida with the sunshine. Like, I missed the beach so much, and I didn't realize how important that was to me until I didn't have it anymore. So I also realized that I wanted more balance in my life, and I didn't want my whole life to be practices. Like, and I wanted to be able to like, okay, go to practice and maybe like lift a little bit on my own and like do my own thing. I've always been someone that like I do like to have some sort of control over my training and like what I do because I like to be able to listen to my body and what I think is right for me. And it's also hard when you're in college and like you have to do training that is for the general whole of the group rather than like specific to you. And I don't think that that's how every program is, but I do think that that's how a lot of programs are. And I think it's very hard to be successful or like to your best potential when you don't necessarily do what's completely right for you, but you're doing kind of what's right for the whole as a group, which can be good in a lot of ways too, because it helps like with team and like everybody's kind of like progressing together. But for someone like me who has dealt with injury and might need completely different training, it's not ideal. I decided to look into other colleges, and I found Flagler College, which is near the beach. It's in St. Augustine, Florida. Super beautiful. It was a D2 school, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna have some more balance, and hopefully it just like you I was like, D1, D2, D3, it doesn't matter. Doesn't mean you're any less fast. It doesn't mean that you can't run as fast. The races are different. Sure, you might be going against different schools. Maybe there won't be as much competition at certain races, but doesn't really, it doesn't mean anything. And I came to that conclusion. I was like, okay, I want to go to this school. I feel like it's kind of perfect. And throughout my freshman and sophomore year of college, I knew I always wanted to go to school for nutrition, but neither of the schools that I chose had nutrition. And so at the same time as I was struggling with, my injuries and stuff when I was at High Point, I also like just hated school. I changed my majors multiple times because I was like, I don't like this. I'm not passionate about this. I ended up doing philosophy for a while because it's the only thing that could get me to go to class. Every other class, I was like, I don't want to be here. I turned to from a really good student to a really terrible student. I was called to the office multiple times, like, hey, turn in your stuff. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm not like that. I was
Yeah.
an all A student in high school and in middle school. So I turned from somebody that was like so passionate about life, running and everything, to somebody who was just sad, depressed, injured, and I didn't do any of my schoolwork or anything. And again, when I went to Flagler, I made the choice for my school to be somewhere that I liked and to be a place that I knew I would like to run, but not necessarily somewhere where I'd be studying something that I wanted to. So
Yeah.
that was another mistake that I made. Flagler was a much better experience, and I think it could have been really great, but I ended up having a relapse while I was at Flagler, and the beginning was really good. I had so much fun. I loved the team. Everybody was just super fun, super sweet, and I was running really fast and I was healthy in the beginning. And I was even healthy all throughout my summer training once I got out of like the bad environment that I was in. And it was super fun. Like we had like beach days and we would do our long runs out by the beach, and I loved it. And it wasn't until I kind of started getting hurt again and my shin started to feel pain. And I was like, because I was having like chronic shin issues and like I got like shin fracture at one point, like just a lot of stuff. And my shin started feeling that again. And so I started cross training a ton. I started having to be in the pool a ton. But my coaches were really like, really helpful. Like, we're like, we just want you to be healthy and happy. Like, that is our goal. Like, we just want you to be healthy and happy. It doesn't matter how you run this season. We just want you to be healthy and happy. I was mostly the reason why it went so wrong because I was so frustrated, I think, with like myself and with how my freshman year went. And I was like, why I just can't stay healthy. Like this is just so frustrating because I had dealt with so much injury all throughout high school and my beginning years of, college, and I was just so frustrated with myself that I think I just was taking that out on myself by pretty much giving in to every single ED thought that I possibly had. And what escalated this was that a lot of girls on the team I felt like were also struggling. That in turn triggered me even more to continue down that route. I was still running fast. I won our conference championship, but I was very underfueled. I would have ran so much faster if I was actually fueled properly, and I was cross training a ridiculous amount, like ridiculous amount in the pool, swimming constantly. But I was also like such a sad, sad person, and my injuries were not getting better. I was having thoughts, ED thoughts, worse than I had had my freshman year. And so now I was like, okay, I'm in a spot where I am in a worse place than I was when I was at the beginning of my eating disorder. Like, this was the worst I had been. And I knew I needed to leave. I knew I needed to leave. I knew I needed to get out of school. I knew I needed to get out of just the entire situation that I was in. I won conference, we went to regionals, and then we went to nationals. And by nationals, I didn't run the entire week before nationals, and my coaches didn't know this stuff was going on. They knew that I was struggling, but they didn't know like the extreme of it. And I wish I would have left in a better manner of not just like, okay, I have to leave, like I have to go now, because I think it was very confusing. But I was in such such a bad place that I needed to get out then. And if I didn't, I was really scared that I was just going to keep going down that rabbit hole. So I made the decision to move home and kind of just pretty much take a gap year to figure out myself and to heal myself. And to be honest, when I got home, it got even worse before it even got better, though. So that's kind of
Wow.
my 2 years of college.
Yeah, that's a lot in 2 years. That's a lot in 4 years, even if that
Know.
was a 4-year experience. And I think there's so many great takeaways from your story. And I think, kind of even going back to High Point, it sounds to me like you chose High Point because of running. And I've heard in other
Absolutely.
podcasts that you've mentioned, like, D1 was the route that you wanted to go. And I think as runners, we're all very like high achieving, just we want the absolute best, or it feels like we've failed. And you had to make multiple really hard decisions, like leaving a D1 program, which was your dream growing up, stopping being a college runner for the time being, which was also a dream growing up. But it's amazing that you were able to look past those things and still put your mental and physical health first. So if somebody is in the situations that you've been in, talking to young Amber, what would you tell them? What's something that would maybe have made a difference for you at that time?
I think the biggest thing is don't do things for other people or for what your younger self wanted, but do things that are going to be right for you in the now and who you are now and what's going to serve your mental and physical health best. And something that was really impactful for me that I learned when I was at High Point going to therapy was I was telling my therapist, I was like, I feel like such a failure. Like my younger self would be so disappointed in me if she knew that I wasn't pursuing D1 running anymore. Like if I wasn't doing this anymore, like how can I leave when she's gonna be so upset with me? Because I wrote in journals like really in depth, like Amber, you've got to do this. Like I was so fiery and determined to like achieve these certain things, and I thought it needed to look a certain way. And she told me, she was like, Amber, would you try to put on the same shoes that your younger self would wear? And I was like, no. She's like, you outgrow your shoes just like you outgrow your old dreams, your old
Wow.
goals. Like, that's okay. That's okay. You get a new pair of shoes, you get new goals, you get new dreams. And like, that's beautiful. That's amazing. We grow and we change. And like, we have to lean into that and we have to embrace that. And maybe our story doesn't look exactly like how we thought it was going to, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. And I think that that's something that has helped me so much is like, okay, sure, my story doesn't look like exactly like how little Amber thought it was going to go, but that doesn't mean that I can't make my story now something super impactful and something super beautiful. And that doesn't even mean that I won't achieve the goals that I did have when I was younger, but maybe I just took a different path. Maybe I took a different route. Maybe I don't do those things that I used to do. Maybe I do grow into a different goal, different dreams, or whatever. But I think really realizing that, like, okay, my story may not look like how I thought it was going to, but that doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And, I think like even looking back, you did achieve a lot of the things that young Amber wanted to achieve, but you weren't happy. And it didn't make or break your life. If anything, it showed you what you didn't want, and you were able to learn from that and grow from that. And ultimately, like I said, put your mental and physical health first, which is huge. So that kind of brings us towards where we are today. How are you doing in the process of recovery? Where are you now?
So I guess it's definitely important to note that when I did get back from college and I moved back home, I had a period where I was doing better, but I quickly got worse. And when I got back home, I became very upset and angry at myself. I didn't understand my purpose. I was like, what am I doing with my life? I am a failure. I am weak. It's like, you could, like, why couldn't you have just lasted? Why couldn't you have just tried harder? Or like, I just didn't understand myself. Like, I just didn't understand why my life was going the way that it was when all throughout high school and even like at college, I performed really well still, even if I wasn't really training or I wasn't doing good, but I still performed well the times that I did run. I was just so angry because I knew my potential and I wasn't living up to it. I took that out on myself by not fueling myself properly. By this time, I had lost my period. I was the saddest, the most depressed, and I hated who I was in my life. And like in my brain, I was like, why would I fuel myself and take care of my body when I don't even like who I am? When I don't even like what I'm doing, when I don't even like where I'm headed, why would I take care of myself? It wasn't until I was on this long run that I was doing. I'm just so grateful that I went to this place on this day at this time because it was like at the end of my long run, and I was having a really good run that day. I was like, okay, this is like I'm actually enjoying myself. Like it was very rare that I was like smiling and happy. I was constantly crying, and props to all the people that are in my life, like my boyfriend and my mom and my dad, everybody for sticking by my side and really helping me because I was such a terrible person at this time. I even was not posting on social media at all. I was so done with everything. I thought that my running journey was over, other than me just like doing whatever. And I was on that long run. It was towards the end of my long run, and I hear my name be yelled. I hear Amber, and I'm like, I know that voice. And I look over, and it's my younger coach from my middle school. He coached me through a little bit of elementary school, a little bit of middle school, and pretty much most of high school. And he is the reason I am the athlete that I am and the person that I am and the athlete that I was when I was younger. Like he's taught me so much, like more than I could ever express. Like I am just so grateful for him. And I was like, oh my gosh, no way. And so like there was this whole like younger kid like track meet that was going on. And I remember running past it being like, wow, like this is so cool. Like this is what our sport needs. Like our sport needs kids to be out here like having fun. So when I saw him, it just added to like this spark that was in me that I hadn't felt in so long. Like the spark for running and the spark and the joy that it had brought me, because my 2 years of college, I didn't feel that spark anymore. Like I was like, I hate this. Like running is nothing of what I remember it to be. And that made me really sad because that was my biggest passion, and that's why I think I felt so lost. And it's not all about running fast or the times or the places or anything. It's like it's everything that running is. When I saw him, I literally was just like, I was starting to tear up, and I just gave him the biggest hug, and I was like, okay, I have 400 more meters, and then I'm gonna come and see you and give you a hug. And I came back, and I got to see like the whole team and everybody, and he was like, Amber, I want you to give them some inspiration. And I was like, oh, you're putting me on the spot a little bit here. I was like, because at this point I still was like just not confident in myself. I was like, you want me to give them inspiration? He's like, yeah, I want you to give them inspiration on like following your goals and following your dreams and like doing what's right for you. And I was like, okay. They all knew me because I'd come to practices and stuff, but I was like, they're like, I was running in college and I no longer run in college anymore. And I made that decision for myself because I needed to stop listening to what everybody else thought was right for me. And I needed to do what was right for my mental and physical health. And I needed to embrace my story and what was right for me. And I ended up talking to my coach after, and I was just like, Coach Mike, what do I do with my life? I was like, I just don't know what to do with my life. I was so lost, and I was like, I can't, I'm not a runner anymore, and like blah blah blah. Oh, maybe I'll just be a lifeguard or do something. Like I was going through everything. I was like, maybe I'll just do this and like own a chicken farm. And I was just so lost. And he was like, Amber, like, why don't you coach? And I was like, why have I never thought of this? Like, why have I never thought of this? Because for me, running has always been like about my story and like what I'm doing and my goals. And I started going out to actually practices to help him coach. And it completely changed my world around. Completely changed my world around. It gave me purpose. It gave me the spark and that light for running again, but in a different way. It wasn't just about me and how I was doing and my performance and my titles and everything like that. I was like, no, like I want to help these kids achieve their goals that they're passionate about and help them have fun with the sport and love the sport and be passionate about like what I am so passionate about and help them not be so consumed and like, okay, I need to run this time or this, or like just give it what you have. Like go out there, have fun and do your best. Like that's what I want you to do. And ever since then, it's been obviously an up and down, but I am at the best spot that I've been in since my senior year of high school now, which
Wow.
is why I'm able to come on here and talk and everything. And I now work at Track Shack, which is the best running store of all time. They put on the Olympic trials and they are in,
Oh,
yeah, they are incredible. And I love working there and I do all of their events and I've even competed in an NCAA race unattached.
wow.
And I
Wow.
actually performed really well there too. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I had colleges reaching out to me and I was like, no, I run for myself now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so in January, I'll be going to finish my associate's degree. And then I want to go to school for nutrition and continue coaching and just be able to be in the running world and continue to be in the running world and like doing what makes me so passionate.
That's amazing. It's so cool to hear you come kind of full circle, you know, back when you were younger and you were running for the community. And I think that it's easy as runners to get really wrapped up in our identity as a runner and our self-worth and importance being wrapped up in performance. But there's so much more to the sport than just performance. There's other ways to be involved, like you said, coaching, mentoring younger
Yeah.
athletes, or, you know, like I retired from pro running this year, but I get to be involved in the sport by talking to other runners like you and working with runners. And
Yeah.
so it doesn't just have to be your performance. If you're injured, there's still ways to be involved. If you need to step back from training, from competing, you can still stay involved. And I think that's something that's so special and so unique to running that it's just been this kind of guiding light for you throughout this journey that's had a lot of ups and downs. And your
Yeah.
recovery is not linear. And there's going to be good days, there's going to be bad days. And it can be, you know, a lifelong battle that you deal with. But that noise gets less and less over time. And it does, you know, it gets easier. And I think your story is just such a great example of that. If you're able to take a step back and put yourself and your mental health first, recovery is possible and being in a happier place is possible. So, kind of wrapping up your inspiring story in this March, which is Eating Disorder Awareness Month, what would you say to a young athlete who was in a similar situation or someone who's just struggling right now? What's kind of the last thing that you would say to somebody, based on your experience?
Skinnier is not faster. Skinnier is not faster. Stronger is faster. Stronger is happier. Stronger is being fueled. And I think you posted something actually. It's skinnier isn't faster. Fueled is faster. And
Absolutely.
I think something that has been super helpful for me is realizing that when you are in a position where you're not fueled, your mental health and the way of thinking, it's almost like not you. It's not you, and your brain doesn't work properly. And when you do feel your body, it's almost like life instantly actually gets better because your brain is now able to function properly. And I think being able to get into that state makes things actually a lot easier because you can rationalize things, you can think about things. A quote that I wrote to myself when I was struggling my freshman year, I wrote it down and I put it in my drawer and it helped me throughout recovery is like, Amber, would you rather be remembered as the girl who broke down to look a certain way? Or would you rather be remembered as the badass runner who was fueled fast and had a zest for life? And that kind of was just like my constant reminder, like, who do I want to be remembered as? Do I want to be remembered as the girl who never went out to events, was never really present and was never really there and able to talk and communicate and be a good daughter, be a good friend, be a good girlfriend, be a good coach, be a good person, and a good runner. Like, who do I want to be remembered as? Because people aren't going to remember you for what you look like. They're going to remember you for how you make them feel and the person that you are. And I think that changing my mindset from, okay, I need to be skinnier because I will be faster, to, no, I need to fuel my body because I want to be able to actually be powerful, strong, injury-free. Because if you're not eating enough, you're going to be injured and it's not sustainable. And I want to be able to be a good person and somebody that people will remember and be like, wow, she made me feel so good and she really helped me and she is a really good person. And like, I want to be able to talk to her again. Like, I want to be remembered as that. And I think that changing kind of the mindset around that is to, like, you're not going to be remembered for what you look like. Not even your times. You're going to be remembered at the end of the day for who you are as a person.
Absolutely. Those are such powerful words, and I just love how candid you've been throughout this whole experience. I think it's really hard to talk about, and I really commend you for your courage with sharing these things so publicly. And I know it opens you up to criticism and things that can be really triggering, but you've navigated
Absolutely.
everything so well, and I hope you continue to share your story and be vocal. It's just, I know it's made a difference in a lot of people's lives. I know you have a YouTube channel and a podcast where people can hear more stories. One that I just listened to of yours is How You Got Your Period Back, which is so cool. And I would love to get into that more, but maybe we can do that another time. But
I
that's
know
one
I'm
I highly recommend people
long-winded.
listen to. No, this has been so fantastic. And I know it's been a really heavy topic, so I want to wrap up on a lighter note with some of my fun rapid-fire questions. Are you
Oh,
ready?
let's do it. Absolutely. We'll see if I can be rapid fire, but
I know, those always stress people out. I say these aren't that hard, but maybe they're. All
Let's
right, so
see.
the first one is, what is your go-to pre-run snack or meal?
Ooh, banana, especially if it's in the morning. I love to have banana and sourdough bread.
Ooh.
I also love Cheerios.
Yeah.
Anything easy on my digestive system that's not going to cause me to cramp.
There you go. Perfect. What would you pick for your last meal?
Anything chocolate?
Oh, cool.
I am the biggest, it's not, it wouldn't even be like a meal, but I am the biggest chocolate fan ever. Like, I love chocolate on chocolate on chocolate on chocolate. If it's
Wow.
chocolate, I love it.
So your last meal would be like a four-course chocolate meal.
Yes, it could be like a four-layer chocolate cake full of like everything chocolate, and that would be fantastic. But I also love like
Amazing.
salmon and rice and stuff. But let's be honest, am I gonna choose that as my last meal? Probably not.
Probably not. Well, that maybe answers this next question, which is, what is your favorite dessert? So maybe more specifically,
Oh,
what's your
yeah.
favorite chocolate food?
My favorite chocolate food? Okay, well, today for breakfast, I had chocolate sourdough bread, and
What?
that it's so good.
I'm
My
gonna need that
stepmom makes
recipe.
it. It's so incredible. I
Yum.
love chocolate sourdough bread. I also
Wow.
love like chocolate chip cookies, and if it's chocolate, I like it. But I like dark chocolate. I don't like milk
Okay.
chocolate. I need it really rich of
Oh
chocolate
yeah.
flavor.
That's
Yeah.
how my mom is. She eats like 95% dark chocolate, and it's a
I
whole other level.
95 is a little
I know,
extreme.
she's hardcore.
I'll go 85. I'll go 85.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
So
What is
good.
your least favorite food?
Oh, least favorite. I don't like pork.
Interesting. Okay.
Pork's like the one thing I won't eat. Other than that, I like it. But there's not, I
Okay.
wouldn't say there's like a food that I'm like passionately like I don't like. You know, like
Gotcha.
I'm pretty open.
Okay, love that. Pork, that is a new one. Allie's our last episode, her least favorite food is chocolate. So you guys have a little bit of, I know, not to start to beef here, but
I need to text her and be like, what are, excuse me, girl, like, what's going on?
that's so funny. All right, if you could travel anywhere in the world for a food experience, where would you go?
Ooh, that's a good question. I see, like, I'm a super like tropical type of person, so I love like good fruits and stuff like that. So honestly, probably like Hawaii. I see
Ooh.
so many nice like fruits from there that I would just love so much. I also love fish, which I don't know. I think they might like my guess is that they have good fish there.
Definitely. Yeah.
Also Italy, of course, but
A
yeah,
classic.
definitely. Of course, like everybody wants to go to Italy for the food. I feel like, of course, it's amazing, but also Hawaii. I feel like they have good fruit.
Great. That's fun. I like the tropical spin there. What is your go-to lazy meal that you make when you don't feel like cooking?
Toast.
Toast. Do you put anything on
I
it?
love, yes, I always like avocado and eggs. But I guess is like, 'cause that's more of like a breakfast thing. I feel like all my meals are kind of like lazy meals. But like
That's fair.
last night I was like, okay, I need to make something for dinner, something quick. Rotisserie chicken, super
Yep.
easy, super delicious. I also just like stick a sweet potato in the microwave
Beautiful.
and tastes delicious. I mash it up. So I do like sweet potato mash and
Yeah.
it's delicious. That with like some rotisserie chicken, perfect.
Perfect. It's like a 5-minute meal right there. I love it. That's a great
So
one.
easy. Also, bison burgers, really, all you do is
Oh.
take like the bison and you like put it in a patty. You can add
Yeah.
some like spices or whatever, put
Yeah.
it on like the pan and then put some like sourdough bread. Boom.
Easy.
Sandwich or
Love
burger,
it.
whatever.
Burger sandwich.
So easy. It takes like 5 minutes.
Perfect. Oh, those are great ones. I like those. And then last one on here, what's your favorite coffee or tea drink?
Okay, I love matcha. And everybody's probably gonna give me some backlash for this, but I am an old grandpa and I want my coffee to be black.
I'm with you. I love that.
I love black coffee. I've drinking black coffee since the sixth grade.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, only a cup. So I'm not like a crazy caffeine person. I just drink my
Yeah.
cup of coffee with my breakfast and I want it black. Like that's just how I
Love
want
it.
it. I try every other way and I'm like, this is not coffee. Like I want my black coffee.
Totally with you on that. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Amber, for sharing everything. Where can people find you if they want to follow you and keep up?
Yeah, so on YouTube, you can pretty much just Google Amber Scholes and my YouTube will come up. And also, my Instagram is Amber Runs with one R. And then I also have a podcast, but I only have like 3 episodes on there. And it is the Be Positive podcast, which I really should probably post more on that. I also have a food Instagram that I haven't posted in a long time, but it's Amber's Yums, which there's a lot on there too that you guys can look at.
Love it. Well, thank you so much, Amber, and best
Of
of luck
course.
with everything coming up.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode of the Fueling Forward podcast. If you'd like to keep up with Amber, you can follow her on Instagram at Amber Runs with one R, or you can find her YouTube channel at Amber Scholes 525. Next week's episode will be a Q&A with me, your host, Maddie Olm. If you'd like to submit a question to be answered, you can do so on my website at www.fuelingforward.com under the podcast tab, or you can email me at fuelingforwardpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much, and I'll see you guys for the next Fueling Forward Friday.